Srila Prabhupada says that mostly he's in the mood of the lover. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he's Krishna, in general, he's in the mood of a devotee rather than in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revels in the mood of many devotees, but particularly he's in this mood of Radha Bhava, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And by being in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the importance of this internal mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is important, because later on it gives reason for why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's external mission, which is to deliver Krishna Prema, Krishna Prema Padayate, that Yagyai Sankirtanam Praya Yajantihi Sumedhanam Sam, to introduce this Sankirtan movement, why that manifests. And briefly, it manifests as a consequence of the loving mood, the very merciful mood, which naturally is there within the heart of Srimati Radharani, the Radha Bhava, or that mood to bring others to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes a preacher. He becomes very eager to give Krishna consciousness to others, because he's under the influence of this Radha Bhava. The mood of Srimati Radharani is to bring others to Krishna. So even when we talk about the Krishna consciousness movement, the Krishna consciousness movement, as started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is then, can be said to be Srimati Radharani's movement. It's her movement, because she is actually Krishna consciousness personified. She's always conscious of Krishna. She's always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, in chanting Krishna's name. And it's also her mission to make others absorbed in Krishna and to bring others also to Krishna's lotus feet. So it's very important, this Radha Bhava Jyoti. It's not a simple thing. Oh, Krishna is just pretending. He's just adopting Srimati Radharani's mood, but still he's Krishna. No, he forgets his nature as Swayam Bhagavan, and he becomes fully absorbed in this Radha Bhava, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Why is that? Because that's the nature of being a Shraya. That is the nature of being the abode of love. You become absorbed in the Vishaya. So just like here on the altar, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna are also standing. They have very distinct identities. When Srimati Radharani is obviously absorbed in Krishna, there's no question that she is a gopi, a servant of Lord Krishna, and as Prabhupada here says, trying to bring happiness to Krishna in so many countless different ways. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absorbed in the same mood. To be absorbed in the same mood, he can only be successful if he actually fully takes on the sentiments of Sri Radha and puts aside the mood that I am now Bhagavan. And that's facilitated by Ladini Shakti, more specifically, an aspect of that, actually not Ladini Shakti, but actually is Chit Shakti, is actually by his Yogamaya potency, by Krishna's Yogamaya potency. He is able to forget his godhood, and he becomes absorbed fully in this mood that I am actually Krishna's devotee. These are also there. Every year during Kartik, we, through the month of Damodar, we're also singing this Damodar Ashtam. Nama Mishwaram Satchit Ananda Vibhav. How Krishna is afraid of Srimati, of Yashoda Devi, running away from Yashoda Devi, even though he is the Supreme Personality of God. There the question comes up, Sanatana Goswami speaks about this in his Tika, when Krishna is running from Srimati, from Yashoda Devi, is he afraid or is he not afraid? Is he really afraid and crying, or is it just a show? If you think that, oh, Krishna remembers that he's God, and therefore what has he got to be afraid of? He's not afraid of, it's just a drama. But no, it's not just a drama. If it's just a drama, then Krishna cannot relish being afraid of his mother. Then he doesn't really have to run away. Then he doesn't later on become extremely angry and pull this utkal between the trees and then pull down the trees. He actually forgets. Krishna does identify himself as being just a little boy, and now my mother is going to beat me with a stick. He thinks like that, he feels like that, therefore actually he tastes this rasa of being afraid. And in so many other ways, Krishna is able to, by his potency, forget his divinity, his godhood, and he becomes either absorbed in the feature of being a little boy, in the feature of being a cowherd, as the lover of gopis, or when he's wrestling or fighting with his friends, that he loses. He doesn't lose because he just pretends to lose. He really loses because the arrangement of his yoga maya is such that Krishna then becomes weaker than Subal or Sridhar. And then they're always very proud that we defeat you. In our wrestling, you always lose. So why do you want to wrestle with us again? So these are all features of Krishna's godhood, but when that godhood is actually covered by Krishna's own potency. So Srimati Radharani's bhava adds this very covering nature of Lord Krishna's lila, avatar. And particularly when absorbed within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it becomes a very mysterious phenomenon. It's a very mysterious phenomenon because in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form, male form as a Brahmin, we see that he's adopting the mood of a gopi. He's adopting the mood of Srimati Radharani, which is very telling. It's telling in the sense that there are unfortunately very many distortions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, and those exist to be present day, and practitioners there generally go by the general name of Sahajas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur lists 13 such deviant sects, Aobo, Kartabhaja, Nida. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he elaborates upon them even further. Whether he made further subdivisions or between the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they spread even more. But there are certain ones who think that in order to actually taste the rasa of the gopi, you dress as a gopi. In fact, there was a very, even still now, a very popular preacher of so-called Gaudiya Vaishnavism who established and re-established many places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. And he had followers who he allowed to dress as gopis. But we see Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the mood of Srimati Radharani. He is experiencing all of the emotions of Srimati Radharani, but he's dressed as a sannyasi. Sannyasa krit samo santa nishta shanti prayam. There's no record anywhere of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dressing anywhere else other than the sannyasi. In other words, the practice of Krishna consciousness does not require any type of external stimulus. It comes as a natural consequence of internal purity. And whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting the bhava of Srimati Radharani, which is not something that is accessible to anyone else, that is Krishna's prerogative. But the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they may taste the bhavas of a cowherd boy or a gopi or even others, although generally it's these two categories that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fall into. But they don't require any type of external stimulus for that. The only stimulus they require is the chanting of Hare Krishna, which affects the chaitadapana marjana, the purity of the heart, by which devotees then are able to really experience the moods of devotion in pursuance of the inhabitants of Dhamma. So Radha Bhava Jyoti. Actually, I'm thinking here in Ujjain, Krishna manifests is related to one of Krishna's very extraordinary forms, and that was the form of Mohini Murti. Many, many people assemble here in order to celebrate this Mela, and this Amrita is actually fell within the river, and so they come and bathe here in order to become immortal. Amrita, mritu means death, and Amrita means you become immortal. Actually, you cannot become immortal. There's no such immortality. Immortality does not come by either bathing in a river, particularly with a mundane frame of mind, nor by thinking that you're going to become, you gain moksha. Even if someone is spiritually advanced, even if someone is a perfected sannyasi, but still, actually, only Amrita, what is Amrita? Krishna prema padayate. Krishna prema is Amrita. There's no other Amrita that makes you, there's no other tonic or nectar that makes you deathless. Bhagavatam describes that aruya krichena param padam tata. You may drink different types of nectar, amrita, you may even come to some stage of liberation, but eventually you will fall down. Why? Because there's still some avishuddhutaya, some impurity within the heart. What is that? That someone is not engaging in Krishna's loving devotional service. In other words, people may take bath, but if they don't engage in loving devotional service, they will not get real amrita. This is the only amrita. Because to be deathless means if you want to actually enter into the realm of transcendence, of sat, and stay there, then that's only possible by going back to Godhead. By going back to Godhead, you can only get it by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And that mercy is by accepting the Krishna prema, Padhyayate. Padhyayate, that he very mercifully distributes. So, Mohini Murti, at least now I was just thinking about this Amrita that people are trying to acquire and the liberation that they want to achieve. A Mohini Murti is actually a feminine form of Krishna. But still, it doesn't have Radha Bhava. It's a different type of form. And still here, that Mohini Devi, she's coming. That Mohini is described twice in Bhagavatam, once in regards to the churning of the ocean, and the other one, which comes just a little later, when Lord Shiva, who wasn't there, he didn't see this Mohini Murti, because when all of this churning was taking place, then this poison manifested in the ocean. And Lord Shiva drank all of this poison. And he was busy drinking poison. He wasn't there to see Mohini. He wanted to see. But then when he saw, that was also a real source of bewilderment for him. But still, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of this Mohini. He manifests a very alluring form, but he still maintained, actually, his inner mood as the Supreme Personality of God. So if you say that Mohini is Krishna in a female form, but yes, but he still maintains the mood of Lord Krishna. For instance, in another example, on the other side of the river, in Vrindavan, on Balaram's side, there, Lakshmi Devi did austerities. She wanted to become a gopi. Then finally, Lord Krishna appeared, and he said, what do you want? He says, I want to become a gopi. And Krishna said, but you can't become a gopi. He says, why not? Because you're still thinking of yourself as Lakshmi. You don't have gopi bhava, so you cannot be a gopi, you cannot have a gopi body unless you have a gopi heart. And you have Lakshmi Devi's heart. So with the body of a gopi, you cannot enter into the pastimes of gopi. And that is also, for instance, why Lord Shiva is also sitting outside of the area of the Vasa dance, this Gopeshwar. Lord Shiva also came. He also wanted to become a gopi. And actually, he achieved the body of a gopi by Vrindadevi's grace. But still, inside, he remained with the bhava of Mahadev. So, when he came to Krishna, and Krishna showed him great respect, in fact, Srimati Radharani didn't understand why Krishna showed this particular gopi so much respect. Then he said, oh, this is our devotee, Lord Shiva. So he's come to participate in our rasa. And Srimati Radharani just laughed. He says, he can't come into rasa. He's thinking that he's a man. He's got a lady's body. But still, internally, he's a male. So he can't come here. So then, very nicely, they said, you know, if you really want to do some seva for us, you should just make sure that no one else enters into this, unqualified person enters into this rasa dance. So he became Gopeshwar. So Radha Bhava Yuti, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fully absorbed in this bhava of Srimati Radharani. And by assimilating that bhava, completely manifesting that bhava, therefore, Krishna Swarupam. You have to say, yes, he's Krishna Swarup, because actually he's not in that frame of mind. He's Krishna, who's in the mood that he's Srimati Radharani. And that's also manifest in terms of his Radha Bhava duty. And the two things are very important. They come together, hand in hand. Just thinking there's also just near Barshana there is one place called Pilipukur, and it's just on the way towards Prema Sarovara, halfway between, and here in this place Srimati Radharani once came, at least Brijbhas culture, I don't know if it's present in Indian culture, if the mother of a boy wants a girl to marry her son, then she puts haldi on her palms of her hand. Is that like a current tradition? Well, yeah. I guess in some places it still is. So anyway, Srimati Radharani, as usual, goes to visit Nandagram, but in this case in Barshana, to visit Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda always wanted to have Srimati Radharani as Krishna's wife. So she wanted Srimati Radharani as Krishna, as her daughter-in-law. So one day she sent Srimati Radharani back with all this haldi on her hands. And she was so young, she didn't even understand what it was about. So she was going back, and as they were walking back, then Srimati Radharani was speaking, and Lalita says, "You know what this is on your hands?" She says, "Yeah, it's turmeric." He says, "Do you know what it's about?" He says, "No, just Mother just sort of put it on my hands." She says, "If you go back to your mother with this, it's a sign that Mother Yashoda wants you to marry Krishna." But Srimati Radharani, of course, liked the idea of marrying Krishna, but still it doesn't fit into the proper rasa of Vrindavan for Srimati Radharani to marry Krishna. But still, all these thoughts came in her mind, "But I'm still so young and I don't want to get married, and that means I can't play with my girlfriends." And so she went to this lake and she thought, "I'll wash it off." And she washed it off. And she washed and washed and she washed all the haldi off. But at the same time, she was also in this mood thinking about Krishna, how nice it would be to marry Krishna. Anyway, so then they left and they continued off and it was all washed off. Krishna came. And Krishna came and he stood on the shore of this lake and he walked in. And he was just there, he brought his cows there for them to drink and also to drink. And when he stood in the water, then by the influence of that haldi and Srimati Radharani's touch, then he started, his feet started to turn yellow. And he was looking at his feet and he thought, "This is very strange, my feet are all turning yellow from standing in this water." So he went in a little further and as far as he went in, his body was turning yellow, yellow, yellow. Anyway, finally he just went all the way in the water. So he turned yellowish, he turned Gauranga. He had his golden body. So one could say that Krishna turned, and then afterwards, of course, when he came back out, then he got back to his original Shyamasundar color. But even though his body turned yellow, still, he was still thinking, "Oh, I'm Krishna, how is it that I turned yellow?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't think like that. "How is it that I turned yellow? I'm Krishna, I'm Shyamasundara." He's just generally, as Srila Prabhupada here says, always in the mood that I'm Srimati Radharani. And of course, Radha Bhava Duty. It's natural. These two things come together. Bhava and Duty, or at least when the two things are together, then they really enforce this identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani, so much so that he's in a male body, and that's not an obstruction. It's not a problem, because it's not dependent upon that type of external appearance. It's what's going on within. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really thinking as my internal identity? So Radha Bhava Duti, Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He's adorned with this bhava. And whereas this is all very nice in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal identity, but we shouldn't forget about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's real mission. And it's very relevant to his mission, as was described earlier. Now I have to explain what it is that Srila Prabhupada here wrote. "As such, she is the medium of transmitting the living entity's service to Krishna. Because Srimati Radharani is the medium of transmitting service to Krishna, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he's also in the mood of transmitting service to Krishna." In other words, yagyai sankirtana prayer. He then becomes very much inclined to manifest the reality of this sankirtan yagya, which particularly when these questions are brought up in terms of Navayogendras are being asked these questions, who is in Kali Yuga the Yuga avatar? The Yuga avatar is actually a function of not particularly Lord Krishna, but it's actually Krishna's expansions that manifest that. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being inspired by what Srila Prabhupada says, this being the medium of transmitting devotees' service to Krishna, therefore he takes on the role and the function of his Yuga avatar as well. So sometimes we call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh, who's the Yuga avatar in this age? Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna's Svarupama. He's Krishna's Sri Bhagavan Swayam. So he's Yuga avatar, but he's more than Yuga avatar. He's Swayam Bhagavan. He's Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's not taking up the mission of the Yuga avatar. He's distributing the chanting of the holy name. He's distributing Krishna prema. Because in reality, no one but Krishna, and no one but Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani actually distributes Krishna prema. Krishna was also there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But who is he giving Krishna prema to? There's a whole battle ensued, a whole war ensued as a consequence of speaking of Bhagavad Gita, but it was a consequence because if Krishna had spoken Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna would have not fought. But giving Krishna prema, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does under the influence of Srimati Radharani's munificence. Under this mentality that Srila Prabhupada here says as being the medium for transmitting the living entity's service to Krishna. Not only is she transmitting the service, but she's also bringing others into the realm of service. And that is what our Krishna Consciousness Movement is meant to be representing. Sometimes this concept of representing is also misconstrued. There are Vaishnavas who sometimes very much emphasize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner mood, and they minimize this external activity of Lord Chaitanya's distributing love of Krishna. And not only is he just distributing love of Krishna to very qualified people, but he's distributing it to everyone. He's taking Jagaya Madai, even Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. He calls himself that I'm just as fond as this Jagaya Madai. And those who are also fallen like Jagaya Madai, ourselves, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also giving them Krishna prema. And sometimes people say, this is external. And because it's external, it's not so important. But there's no question of there being any distinction between Krishna, between what's internal and external. What Krishna does in terms of his external mission is no less important than what he's experiencing within. In fact, they're inseparable. It isn't that Krishna is experiencing Radha Bhav, so we should also try to experience Radha Bhav or Manjari Bhav or some other type of Bhav, because that's the real essence. That's the important thing. But no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing Radha Bhav, but meanwhile he's traveling all over India and he's giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. And in his introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada goes through the different phases of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. He says the 6 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels, he says this is the most important part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, and the most important time. Why? Because that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached most actively. That time when he traveled through South India, when he came to Vrindavan, when he went through Jarikanda Forest, all of these times when he converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, these were Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching Leela. Even more than just his Sankirtan Leela in Navadvipa, his preaching Leela, Prabhupada says this is the most important time. Most important part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation, his appearance.